Surf Rock Podcast.
Welcome and Happy New Year, right? I know you probably heard it a million times, but I'm going to say it again. Happy New Year. Feels good, doesn't it? Get started with 2019. I'm super excited about what God has in store for all of us here at North Rock this year. It's going to be a really good year. So as Pastor Andrew was saying, I get to introduce our new sermon series this month, The Rhythms of Grace. But before we dive in, we're going to pray. Seek the Lord in this together. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for your words to us. Oh, Lord, thank you for that awesome time of worship this morning and participating at your table. Lord, I just so am thankful for this community of believers that we get to do life together. Father, I pray that you would be with us through the rest of our time together this morning. Lord, that you would speak a new and a fresh word to each of us here today. We give you praise today, Lord, and we love you so much. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so rhythms of grace. So I first wanted to talk about rhythms. Like, what are rhythms and why are they important? So rhythms can be really anything. I'm sure you guys would agree with me. We have rhythms when we get up in the morning and get ready to come to work. There's a certain pattern that I follow in order to get me here on time. Then there's patterns and rhythms for driving. I have a way that I get here and a way that I go home. And sometimes if I forget one of my rhythms, I show up here late and then not all put together. So that's how important rhythms are to us. And as I thought about rhythms even more than that, I am a music lover. I love music. And I thought of dancing. Now, dancing is just beautiful to watch. I remember growing up in Michigan with my grandparents. We'd go over to my grandparents' house, and we would watch the old big band shows, Lawrence Welk, and watch the dancers. And it just was always amazing to me to get to watch those things. So just to kind of get us in the mood for dancing, we're going to watch Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers for a minute or two. Right? So good. I cannot dance like that. That's awesome. Oh, what my confession is this morning is I cannot dance. Like, I am a terrible, terrible dancer. But I love to watch other people do it. It's just fun to watch. I thought about a time, though, where I was able to feel like I was dancing well. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I married into a Spanish family. And this Spanish family does a lot of parties. So we do music, we do dancing. When we get together, it's just a fun, fun time. And I would always sit out on the side, like, I don't want to participate because I don't know how to Spanish dance and I don't know how to regular dance either. And so I would just sit on the side. Well, there was one time my father-in-law, Luciano, I had seen him dance, and he was amazing. Like, he could move through the room with my mother-in-law, and it was just such a beautiful thing to see. And he came up to me one time, and he said, "Do you want to dance?" I'm like, "No, nope, don't want to dance. Not very good at that." He goes, "Don't worry. Come with me. Let me lead you. It'll be okay." All right. I trust him. I'll do it. And so I got out on the dance floor, and at first it wasn't pretty, I'll be honest. Like, I was still trying to control it. I'm sure I was stepping on his toes. Like, it was bad. But then as I started getting into the rhythm of it, he was lifting me off my feet as we were dancing around, and I had never felt that before. Now, don't get me wrong, this was not like the start of a dancing career for me. I'm still terrible at it. But that was the one moment I thought of where I was like, oh, I could kind of sense that I was kind of light on my feet and dancing a little bit. And so, yeah, and I love my father-in-law. He's such a good guy. But he did. He swept me off my feet. And then I started thinking about how Jesus invites us to dance. He invites us to learn his rhythms of grace. He wants to sweep us off our feet. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. What an invitation. Isn't that beautiful? Come to me. That's what he says. So why do we have rhythms? They help us remember. They help us keep things on track. They anchor us. Like, I know that I have to stop by the store every day, whatever, to get dinner. Like, they anchor us. They keep us on track. Over the next 4 Sundays, we're going to be talking about the rhythms of grace, and we'll be focusing on the greatest commandment. So the greatest commandment, I'm sure we've all heard it, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus knew the importance of rhythms. He was raised in the Jewish culture, which meant that he participated in the festivals and the rhythms of the Jewish life. They had a prayer that they prayed twice a day, mornings and evenings. And I want to share this prayer with you because I think it's critical to see how it compares to, or actually is, part of what Jesus was talking about in Matthew. It's called the Shema. And I had never heard of this, but let me read it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Do you catch that? Jesus refers, in the greatest commandment, he refers back to his prayer that he prayed every day, mornings and nights. It's that important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments are to be on your hearts. You're to impress upon them on your children. So he was raised with this all the way from being a child growing up. He would have known it by heart. And the expert in the law, in Luke, that we're going to see here in a minute, knew this as well because he was raised in the Jewish traditions. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Seems simple enough, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. Do this, and you will live. Side note, just real quick, I'm not going to delve too far into this, but eternal life. He asked him about eternal life. And I think we find the answer for what eternal life is in John 17:3. This is Jesus speaking. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life. It starts now, that you would know the Father and the Son. So love the Lord your God with all your heart. The first thing I wanted to do was look up the word heart. Because in the original Greek, which was what the New Testament was written in, I wanted to make sure that it meant like the organ that's inside of you that beats blood back and forth from your brain and everywhere else, right? It's pretty important. But actually in Bible Hub, and where I found it, the word is cardia. And cardia means mind, character, inner self, will, intention, and center. It's the effective center of your being. The capacity of moral preference. The desire producer. It makes us tick. Isn't that such a good word? It's not the organ that's beating inside of us. When we love the Lord with all of our heart, it's the center of our being. It's meant, cardia is mentioned over 800 times in scripture, but it never talks about the organ inside your body. It's always talking about the center, your center of your life. So what does that mean? To love the Lord your God with the center of your being. I believe that it's in the rhythms of relationship. That's where we find it. So we are going to go back to our dancing analogy and do a four-step. Now, I have no idea if there's a four-step. Believe me, I am not a dancer. And so, but this is what I came up with, so this is where we're going. And these are just rhythms. Acknowledge who God is. Step one, acknowledge him. At the beginning of the Shema, oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Who acknowledge who he is. The prayer that we pray, that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Acknowledge him. He's our creator. We're four square, so we believe that he's our savior, our healer, our baptizer, and our soon and coming king. Who is Jesus? Acknowledge God. Acknowledge him. Step two, be thankful. Now I know things get pretty rough in our lives, right? It's hard to be thankful sometimes, but we can all find something to be thankful for. We all woke up and we're breathing, right? We have a church that we can come to and worship together, right? These are things to be thankful for. Families that love us, church families that love us. Yeah, these are things to be thankful for. So step two, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Maybe even dance. But let's be thankful. Step three, seek God. And we're going to camp out a little bit more on this topic. Because honestly, when I read this, I'm not sure how to seek God. So I did a little, figuring it out. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, says the Lord. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart, or the center of your being. This is another one of those words, center of your being. So what does seeking God look like? I came up with a few things that I do. Be still. Draw near and listen. Have you ever just sat and just listened for the Lord? Just take a few minutes. It's very, very cool to be able to do that. And I know in our busy, hectic lives, it can get crazy and we don't have time to do that. But just take a few. Just take a few minutes. Just be near to him. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings. And then another thing we can do, study his word. We can learn more about him. Not only does this reveal more of who God is, his character to us, it builds our faith and it builds our trust. He tells us so many things in his word. And unless we know it, we don't know the beautiful promises of it. Like when I get super anxious, I have a scripture that I go to. Be not anxious about anything, but with everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present my request to God. And then his peace, which passes understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Okay, Lord, I don't have to be anxious. Those are the things. Learn about him. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. You don't know. I don't know. There's lots of things I don't know. But he promises if we call to him, he'll start revealing things to us. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. He is the good news. If we don't listen, if we don't learn, we're not going to know the good news of Christ. The next thing we can do in seeking God, obedience. Find out what pleases him and do it. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. And then the second greatest commandment. You know, the first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am pretty sure that the Lord is pleased when he sees us dwelling together in unity. When we love each other as ourselves. And there's probably other things too. But these are just some of the things I had. Okay, so now we're going to go to step four, but let's review the first three. We acknowledge God, step one. Step two, we are thankful. Step three, we seek him. And step four, we offer him an undivided heart. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Ask him to give you an undivided heart. And when I say heart, I'm still talking about that center of our being. We cannot possibly go to the Lord without giving him our whole heart. That's the way we love him. And it means that even the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of our lives, the center of our lives, we still need to give that to him. That's just being obedient. And you know what? If we confess when he reveals things to us and we repent, he's faithful and he will forgive us. That is the good news, right? And then it's a new day and we can start fresh. It's beautiful, this rhythm of relationship, this dance that we get to do with Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all of your center of your being. As I was thinking about this, these four-step dance, I'm reminded of a thing that I'm actually walking through right now, just to personalize this a little bit. A couple of months ago, I had a dream, and it was one of those really real dreams. I was standing outside in the foyer with the other part of the leadership team, but I was kind of standing off by myself. And they were all talking and making decisions. I was listening, and they were making the decisions that I usually make here. Which I don't know if you guys should say that. I'm the administrator here at the church, so I'm actually on staff. But they were making the decisions, and then all of a sudden this peace settled over me. And I thought, wow, this is good. Not to be anxious, so I have this peace. And I woke up and I thought, wow, Lord, you really have matured me. I can see other people doing my job and I'm good. And then a couple weeks, I put it to the side. I didn't really think about it anymore. You know, you take that thankful and we're going to move on. And then I had a vision. And the only difference between a vision and a dream, really, is whether you're awake or asleep. And as I saw this vision, it was of a man, and he had a large watch on his hand. And I thought, well, that's odd. Why does that stand out to me? So I took this vision to my people. I call them my people because we all need them, right? Those people that you go to who are more mature in the faith than you, they can kind of talk you through some things and kind of confirm some things in your heart. And every one of them said to me, it's time. I thought, oh, it's time. Okay. I don't know what that means either. So I really did just tuck that to the back, and I didn't think too much more about it. But as the days were going on, you know, when the Lord gives you a dream and a vision, he really doesn't let you forget that you had a dream and a vision. And so at one point, I thought, okay, I'm going to do these rhythms. I'm going to acknowledge God for who he is. So thankful, Lord, that you have this place for me. But Lord, if you are trying to tell me something, you're really going to have to be loud because I don't know what you're trying to tell me. And all I heard was the word move. And I thought, oh, move. And then just like that, I had it in my spirit. I need to move out of the administrator role here at the church. I'm still going to be here because like in my dream, I'm still here. I'm just going to be doing it in a different way. So this has been so much of a transition period for me. And so the analogy of the dance is beautiful because I've had to learn a new timing. Like when he said move, I couldn't just drop everything and run. That would be horrible. I had to learn new steps. I don't know how to hand off what I do. It's a hard thing. But he was faithful. And he is still faithful. So what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart? The answer is found in relationship. That's where I found my answer. If I could have the worship team come back up. And what I want to say here too, really, if you take nothing else away from this, the most important thing, to love the Lord your God with all of the center of your being, you must first know in the center of your being how much he loves you. Because the scripture says, we love because he first loved us. That's the reason. And it's beautiful. He does love us so much. Jesus, he invites us to dance and learn these unforced rhythms of grace. If we allow him to lead us and sweep us off our feet, oh, how amazing that is. I've asked the worship team to come back up and play a song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, because I feel like this is a really good hymn for us to worship together. And then at the end of the song, what I'd like for us to do is take a posture before the Lord. Now, whether that's kneeling, sitting, standing, whatever way you want to do that. But I want you just to really draw near to him and sit in his feet and just realize how much he loves you. And then I'll come back up and close. Lord, thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you, Lord, that we can enter in and sit at your feet and just know how much you love us. My prayer for us, Father, will you help us to give to you an undivided heart? Will you help us, Lord, with your rhythms of grace? Remind us with rhythms, Lord, how to acknowledge you and be thankful and seek you. Lord, we love you so much. And we pray it in Jesus' name. So my challenge is for us to accept this invitation to dance. He reaches out his hand. Let me lead you. Whether you're good or bad or whatever, he's willing. So can we give the Lord a round of applause this morning? He's so good, isn't he? Now is one of our rhythms that we do here at North Rock every week. So if this is your first time, welcome. You can pray this with us. If you have prayed this prayer for years and years and years, please pray it like you mean it. Here we go. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and I trust. Amen. Amen.
Oh, Lori. Can we just show our appreciation for Lori one more time? Amazing, amazing message.
Thank you.
We're so proud of you.
Thank you.
So proud of the growth. Now, for many of us today, we go, okay, Lori isn't the administrator anymore, and there's this cold chill that goes down your back. So, like, if you're a church counselor, or you've been a part of our church for any amount of time, you know, Lori's been our administrator for 10 years now. She's been a part of our church and helping in all kinds of different ways. And I came back to be the lead pastor about 4 years ago. And wouldn't you just say she's the best at what she does? Like, she's an amazing administrator. And that's why I get the chill down my spine, because I say, I have no idea how to do anything without Lori anymore. Lori, or the Holy Spirit, and then Lori, right? It's kind of like that for me. And so there's a lot of us trying to figure out, how do we work together to pick up the pieces, to fill in, while God continues to grow you in the grace that he has over your life. Mm-hmm. When I got back here 4 years ago, Lori was the administrator. She sat up in her office. She made sure everything got done. She did all the behind-the-scenes work that's so important for a church to function well. And she continues to do that up to this day. But I also saw grace on her life as a pastor. I saw that she had a desire to preach and pastor and shepherd people. And so we began to just kind of walk that out. And as the Lord led her, here we are. 4 years into that journey, which has been a much longer journey through small groups and all the different ways that he's grown you in this place. We are getting ready to license Pastor Lori as one of our pastors in Foursquare. So, all that to say, we celebrate the grace on your life. We thank you for being sensitive and courageous enough to hear the Lord's direction and to stay in step with him. And we submit ourselves to that grace as well. So I'd like to pray for her. Can we do that? And while we do that, I wanted to also bring up two more people, because as God puts a grace on her, he puts a grace on us, right, to know how to walk this thing out. And so there's a lot of people that have a lot of different gifts in this place, but two of them that are going to be helping us carry some of what Laura used to do as the administrator is Brian Primrose. Brian, would you come up here, please? Brian, most of you guys know Brian. He's been on our church council. He's got a business background, has been doing administration for a long, long, long time. He's been working with Lori over these last months and is saying, I got it. We're doing good. He's going to be our director of finances moving forward here in 2019. Help us figure out how to manage all those things better. So thank you for that. And also Melissa Brotherton, who's sitting right over here on the right-hand side. Most of you guys know Melissa as one of our support pastors, but she has sensed that the Lord was guiding her to do some of the administrative components. She already oversees our communication, all of our kind of improvements in our facility, all of our social media, all that fun stuff. And she's also one of our teaching pastors here. So those are two of the pieces. You guys know Deborah Mares, right? Everybody knows Debbie. Mm-hmm. Debbie isn't here today, or else she'd be standing right here in the middle. But she's kind of our pastor of operations, and is going to help us work between administration and functional ministries. So again, that's part of how we're doing it. But I've also like to use this opportunity to say, if you know, finance and administration and those kind of things are your thing, if that's how God works through you, we'd love to talk to you about that. There's plenty and plenty and plenty of work that that Lori has done effortlessly after 10 years of practice at it that we're all going to fumble around with for a while to make sure that you guys don't see all the things that we dropped, okay? So all that to say, we love you. We affirm what God's doing in your life, and we're really thankful that you are who you are here at North Rock.
Amen.
Let's pray. Yeah. So if you just do us the honor of extending your hand towards her. All you're doing that, you're just saying, yes, Lord, we as a community believe you're doing something in our midst. We trust you. If you're part of the church council or part of the staff, you want to come up, you can lay hands on her. That'd be awesome. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for Lori. We thank you for the call on her life, the commission that you've given her, and, Lord, the courage that you've given her to walk that out. Lord, I thank you, and we celebrate the way that your rhythms of grace have grown her as your daughter. And so we pray as we release her from the heavy work that she's carried in this church through many seasons of having a lot and struggle. Lord, we pray that you would refill her, Lord, that you would release her of the feeling of having to carry those things. And that, Lord, you would help us, you'd speak to us as a body to how to distribute that weight within us. And so, Lord, we do. We also pray that you would continue to pour out your vision in her life. You'd continue to show her the different areas of prayer and ministry and the groups that she's already forming and as a part of, helping us be stewards of the life that you've entrusted to us. And Lord, while we do that, we also pray for Brian and Melissa. Lord, we mm-hmm. thank you for the work that you're doing in them.
Yes.
Thank you for their willingness to step into the gap.
Yep.
And that in this time, we would grow as a body and we would position ourselves to be candidates of your grace and your mercy as you design the dance around North Rock's presence in this community. Pray, Father, favor and blessing upon them all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you just stand with me, we'll dismiss in prayer. How about that? Is that good?
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you for being here at North Rock. I hope the Lord ministered to your heart and that you made some connections here. So let's pray and we'll go home. Father, we thank you that as we exit today, Lord, that you are the one who guides our steps. Lord, that you are the designer of the dance of discipleship. And you are the one who leads us. So, Lord, we submit to you in every way. Help us as we gather and grow and go out back into the world representing you this week in every conversation and every place we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great week. Thanks for being here at North Rock.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.